Welcome to Web Summit, everybody, here in Vancouver. It's the office hours edition of Web Summit, and I got two of my dear friends, two guys who I advise, invest, and most of all appreciate as entrepreneurs. Welcome, Thomas Park of the amazing Readium, and of course, our hometown favorite as well, Joe Tolzman, founder of Rocket Plan. You guys ready for a little chat with Uncle Dave?
Welcome to Vancouver, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to have you in our hometown.
Well, you two guys are two of my favorite entrepreneurs. But the interesting thing is you're both Canadian.
Yes.
But you do a lot in America.
Yes.
And obviously the relationships have changed between America and Canada. And so my first question is, we don't know circumstance. And coming from different countries, it, to me, amplifies circumstance and the fact that a lot of the things you wouldn't have to consider if you only did business within your country now become a bigger issue when you have to be a global company and deal with all types of different governments, taxes, tariffs, and politics. How has government, taxes, tariffs, and politics impacted you as entrepreneurs from Canada?
So actually, when I look at it from our perspective, we just roll with the punches. There's nothing that we can do on the political side. No matter who comes in to government, we were expecting a different government in Canada. And so we just have to go with whoever the governing body is at that time. Working with Canada and the United States, we're very fortunate because we're dealing with real estate assets and they're real estate assets in the United States dealing with Americans and same within Canada. So they don't intermix. So the cross-border issues, we won't actually experience any of that. And then for Joe's company, I think it can explain.
Yeah, Joe, how's it a SaaS solution dealing with restoration and contractors within the context, having to deal with insurance companies, contractors, different rules, regulations? Are politics or tariffs any impactful situations for you?
You know, feeling very lucky because there's no tariffs on software. Most of our customers are in the United States, so it would be a big issue for us if that was the case. So I'm feeling super grateful, super lucky that it doesn't impact us at all. And restoration industry moves regardless of what's happening with global economy, so we're in a good space.
Both of you bring up a good point that you have recession-proof businesses. And one of the things I've always loved about real estate, and believe it or not, your company is a real estate company as well. Without real estate, there would be no Rocket Plan.
Yes.
But when you deal with real estate, there's a rule that I've learned. I mean, looking at someone who's lost over $100 million in real estate, went bankrupt because of real estate, because I didn't learn a certain lesson. And the lesson is never buy real estate if you have to sell it. Mm-hmm. So in America, especially with the laws and the regulations, our own government was founded on protecting the landowner. If you buy land or real estate and never have to sell it, you'll never lose money.
Absolutely. And so there's just opportunities in markets like this. Obviously, you want to buy at the opportune time, and that's actually at the bottom of the market. And that's where you're going to see the appreciation. And with real estate, it's not like you buy today and sell tomorrow, like literally tomorrow. You buy and hold. And what I love about the United States is that you have the 1031 exchange so that you can keep on upselling.
Right? So I'm 1031 exchanging right now. Mm-hmm. And by luck, I figured out a new strategy that actually is one in which utilizes a down market to your benefit. So if you buy, especially in the luxury property range, if you buy a property that has income and because it's a luxury property, there's not a huge turnover in inventory. So while the rest of the real estate has huge inventory problems, the markets. So in an exchange, you know, let's say that you have a $5 million property and you want to exchange it for a $6 million property. Obviously, huge tax benefits, all types of in 1031. That's what you want to do without taking the income. If you bought that for $1 million and it's worth five, now you can move into a $6 million. But in a down market, you would rather exchange when the market crashes, meaning your $5 million property that has great income and has low inventory might move to a $4 million, where the $6 million property might actually move to a $3 million. And now you could pick up a $9 million property at 5 million and your property's at 4 million. So now your tax basis and your income is much higher and you actually can benefit from a down market compared to a rising market. And even in the time frame in a 1031 exchange, you get 6 months, you get 45 days after you sell your property to identify three and then 6 months to close on one of those three. Well, it could go down another $1 million in that 6 months, even if your property depreciated at the same rate. So you're talking about millions of dollars of benefit. The point I'm making, though, is that in both of your businesses, your experience means so much because I've been in this business for 47 years, you know, in real estate, understanding and learning it since I was 10 years old from my dad who syndicated properties. And I never even knew this until all this time has gone by. There's some subtleties of success in both of your business. I'm gonna start with Joe. In Rocket Plan, I see so many things that nobody on earth noticed and their huge capabilities or margins. What's one of those subtleties that you found from being in the contracting business yourself that nobody else noticed?
You know, the biggest challenge in our industry is that there's so many stakeholders involved into the whole process and nobody really fully understands the whole picture. And that's why until we solved the problem for the industry, there was no good solution that does it all in one place. Luckily, when I started, I was the guy doing everything, working in the field, working in the office, doing physical labor, but also dealing with all the documentation, admin work, estimating, billing. So give me a really good 360 overview of the entire workflow. And then we just build it. So it's all in one place and, you know, it's seamless. It's very efficient.
What about you, Joe, in Redium? And when we're looking at utilizing you guys say Joe? This is Joe. I mean, you guys look alike. You're like those paternal twins that we were talking about.
He's actually half Korean, so we're good.
I hope from the eyebrows up.
We hang out a lot.
I hope he's half Korean from the eyebrows up.
Yeah.
anyways, I digress. Thomas Park.
Yeah.
CEO of Redium.
Yeah. So
there's some subtleties in what you're doing in real estate. What are those?
Well, you know, I think that our vision was to democratize real estate investing and make it accessible to everybody. The subtleties is that it's still a novel idea. It's still a lot of people just don't know. But what happens is that when you look at an investor that's coming in at a very low rate, they're actually a little bit more tighter with their money. So going through accredited investors, going with high net worth family offices, they understand the cycles and they understand the long-term play. Whereas that you find some retail investors that are getting into the market that might see the market drop by 10, 20%, they want to get out and they want to get out fast. And with real estate, it's not the stock market. You know, obviously it's like you can, like I said earlier, you can't buy today and literally sell tomorrow. You can do that now with tokenization, but there's so many aspects of the securities laws that we have to look into to make sure that every trade or every investment is compliant with the security regulation. So just those nuances that a lot of people don't know. And, you know, I travel a lot with Joe and we learn about our companies all the time and we have the same struggles, but different industries, well, same industries sort of, but different markets. And so it's great to be able to hear his challenges or he can hear my challenges and give me advice and vice versa. So for those nuances within the real estate market, it's like we go to people like you and lean on you for your experience in 47 years. And so that's where, you know, we have blind spots and that's by having great advisors like yourself to help us get us to those points.
I'd love to field maybe a question each from each of you of something I can either help with or share an idea or something you're curious about. Joe, I'll start with you if that's cool. What question you have for me?
So what I was thinking over and over again, you travel so many different time zones across the world. How do you manage your sleep? You landed yesterday at midnight.
Yeah.
And we met up early this morning, so.
You know, it's so interesting. It's not just sleep, it's activities. And so just to give you a high level understanding, what's changed my life, even recently talking about the subtleties of your own human experience was first understanding what actually was involved in the human experience. I saw that so many people that I coach, mentor, and teach were trying to reconcile their human experience with this infinite faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a difficult thing because, you know, how am I supposed to live in faith but care about my mortgage? You know, these weird things.
Yeah.
So to define the human experience as the time your heart starts till the time it stops, and it's part and parcel to the infinite experience, the spiritual experience, your faith-based experience, which I'm a very faith-based person, is the first step. I know relative to sleep, what are you thinking? Well, if you realize that I am here for a human experience, and the human experience is incrementally separated by 24 hours, it's the only certainty of the human experience. I can guarantee you that every day of your life, you will get 24 hours, like every other human. And that 24 hours, if we told each other, let's go meet at 3 o'clock to a meetup here at Web Summit, and we were all on time, we would be, regardless of where we're from, we would be there at the exact same time, 3 o'clock Pacific time here in Vancouver. So what happens is we put too much meaning or relativity to the only certainty that we have, which is time. So to cheat or to create ease within this construct of time, we have to have non-negotiable behavior that says no matter what circumstances exist, that I'm going to spend a minimum amount of time on, for example, what's most important to me that I'm committing to do every day. Because if I do it every day, I get acceleration, aggregation, and compounding impact. So 2 minutes a day is worth 2 hours on a Saturday. And if you don't believe me, go to a Spanish class. There's never been one kid on earth that studied Spanish 15 minutes a day, every day, and didn't get an A. Mm-hmm. There's tons of students like me that studied 15 hours on Sunday before a Monday test and did not get an A. Tons of kids like that. So I took that concept and said, what's the most important thing in my life that I want to make non-circumstantial or non-negotiable? My sleep. Why? It's a third of my life, number one. Mm. So if I can be the best at something for a third of my life, that seems to probably have great impact. And if I'm intentional about it, so I get a sleep coach, as you guys know that I have, and I'm constantly figuring out how to utilize this non-negotiable to, one, recover, knowing from the sports world that those who recover perform better, and two, access the infinite. What's the infinite? In the faith-based world, the infinite says there is a God, whatever you name your God's cool with me, but there's a God that has infinite information and it has infinite energy and it loves you, protects you, and promotes you and perfects you more than your mom. So this simple construct, then I'm just picking and choosing my non-negotiable behaviors so that circumstances, interest rates, mortgages, weather, delays, they don't impact me at all because I know that I get a minimum of 7 hours of sleep every day, 7 days, regardless of the circumstances. It actually has a duplicative positive in that not only do I have my non-negotiables, but all the negotiable circumstantial behavior. Now it's narrowing the amount of time, so I'll get better at prioritizing all the circumstantial stuff. So I end up being more productive, accessible, and gracious on top of what this behavior does. So the advice I have is to prioritize the non-negotiable behaviors, cut your days, your certainty away from circumstantials, and you'll be much more statistically successful, make more money, help more people, and have more fun. All right, Thomas Park, not Joe Tolzman. What question you got for me?
I was actually going to say that sleep is not my problem. It's actually all the other things that you said that I have to learn.
Prioritize those. That's cool. Yeah, everyone has different strengths.
You know, every trip we went to, and there were many, I always have a picture of him taking a nap in a car, on a sofa, in a lobby. Like, yeah, he knows.
You sound like my wife. Yeah. She loves to take pictures of me sleeping.
Sorry, the question I do have for you, Dave. So, you know, I've never seen you in a bad mood ever. You know, you're always a bright light. Your energy that you promote, like, it's just, it's contagious. So I love being around you. So when, you know, looking at our companies and, you know, you're an investor advisor to my company and to Joe's, and we're looking at how we can actually go after faith-based, like, athletes.
Yeah.
To be able to have conversations with them, to actually kind of, you know, share what we're doing to see if that it aligns with some of their thesis of potentially, you know, becoming advisors or investors or using their megaphones to be able to promote and help us.
Yep. So first of all, alignment of values is important. So you mentioned we're looking for faith-based athletes.
Yep.
So what we want to do is make sure that you're asking them and meeting them where they're at with their faith and understanding that we have to get to a point where it says, would it help you if?
Yeah.
So when I do that and explore the synergies or the alignment between your values and mine and faith being such a strong value and so important to me, I love to ask, you know, about that subject matter, topic, or expertise first, regardless of what the solutions, the business, the investments, or advice, or bug light that we're looking for. So I might say to an athlete, hey, what are you doing today to support your faith? Mm. You know, amazing. What are you doing today that reinforces your faith? Or what do you do to surround yourself with the right people and ideas that are faith-based? And then let them share to you. And then you could say, well, would it help you if?
Mm. Amazing.
Or do you know someone that could help me? I have a faith-based real estate business that we can have, you know, crowdfunding basically, or social funding too. And would you help me? Or do you know anyone that would help me? And this simple format or platform of asking someone, where are you at today according to the subject matter, topic, or expertise? What works? What doesn't work? What do you like? What you don't like? What do you know and what you don't know? Because if we can give someone more of what's working, what they like and what they know, or take away what they don't know or what they don't like, or take away what they don't know, we provide value. And if we can transition that value by saying, hey, would it help you if? And they say yes. Now you could say, well, can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? Or if there isn't a synergy, you could just simply say, hey, do you know anyone? Knowing what we're doing, although it's not aligned or the time may not be right, emotion and value, do you know anyone that could help me? And when you do that statistically, a person on the phone via email and social media every day in this non-negotiable behavior, you know, every one of those asks become 10 times its multiple. In fact, if you ask one person in person on the phone via social media or email each day, four people a day, if you ask them, do you know anyone that helped me? Knowing that on average, everyone on earth has 1,000 people in their network now, not four, you're going to reach 112,000 people a month.
Amazing.
And imagine the statistical success of getting 112,000 people that want to help each other and know people that help each other. It turns into an extraordinary success story, like both of you. We are blessed to be here at Web Summit in Vancouver. We've been all over the world together, Thomas Park and Joe Tolzman, two extraordinary Canadian entrepreneurs doing business all around the world, but most importantly, in my backyard, in the United States of America. We appreciate you both for not only the entrepreneurial lessons that we learned from you, but also the inspiration that you've given so many other young entrepreneurs who may have started in the back rooms at Dairy Queen. You never know where you're going to end up. Joe Tolzman, founder and CEO of Rocket Plan. Thomas Park, CEO of Redium. Follow both of them. Invest, follow, support all of us in our ventures. We are blessed to be here. This is David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.